This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining you, me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Also joining us this morning is former Toronto Maple Leaf, Buffalo Sabre, and Washington Capitol, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. It's World Cup finals coming up at 10 a.m. this morning. Argentina and France. Many are calling it the dream final. Later on in the hour, we'll have Canadian Soccer Hall of Famers Carmen and Marcantonio and Roberto Iarrucci. They've been with us for a month now, and we'll get them to get us ready for kickoff at 10 a.m. this morning. Argentina and France. Promises to be a game for the ages. Naz, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm good. Lou, how are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
Good to have you, Lou. Listen, before I get back to Naz here, let our listeners know we've got our good friends at Pizzaville are trying to spread some Christmas cheer at a couple of points in the show today. We'll be giving out another couple of $50 Pizzaville coupons to the first caller. I will give out those numbers at the appropriate time. Naz, and also we have Mike Wilson, the ultimate Leafs fan, going to be joining us shortly as well. Naz, interesting day in NFL football yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
Vikings-Colts. NFL's been around a long, long time. Who would have thought that yesterday afternoon on a December day, December Saturday afternoon, we'd actually get the biggest comeback in NFL history. Vikings were down 33-0, I believe, at halftime, and to the Colts, and Vikings came back and won the game. I think it was the last play in overtime. Correct me if I'm wrong, Naz. It was a field goal, the last play in overtime, the biggest comeback in NFL history. Of course, the one that they beat, you'll remember that one, Naz, the miracle at Rich.
Yeah,
Bills and the Oilers. Was it the Oilers there or the Titans? I think it was the Oilers.
Warren Moon and
Frank Reich had stepped in for Jim Kelly that afternoon. And that was the one. And yesterday, they set the record. Thoughts on that one, your impressions of that game, Naz?
Well, that was the tale of two games, really. In the first half, Indianapolis dominated, and in the second half, Minnesota dominated. It was an incredible game, and I don't know how they can turn it around that quickly, but they did it, and it was a good game. Great game, as a matter of fact.
With
a fairy tale ending, really.
Yeah, it's certainly exciting to watch in the fourth quarter and into the overtime. Who would have thunk it? Greatest? They're going back to there's been, I can't remember the statistic, how many times teams have had more than 30-point leads at halftime. And this was the one after NFL's been around since 1930. Remarkable. Lou, I don't know if you got a chance to watch the game, but certainly your thoughts on it.
You know what? I did get a chance to watch the last 18 minutes, and I was shocked. And knowing me, I would have fired Jeff Saturday right there. That was probably one of the worst managed 15, 16 minutes of a game that I've ever seen. Just the way that Indianapolis came out. I don't think they had a clue of what they were doing after they got up so high, because it was almost like 3-0 every time, and Minnesota came down, and then obviously the 60-yard screen that he threw that they scored a touchdown within, 30 seconds of getting the ball. But, it was a great game. It kept me glued to the TV.
It probably kept
a lot of other people glued to it, just like last night's game between Baltimore, Buffalo and Miami.
Yeah, let's turn this one over to Naz. Let's start off with Naz, Bills Dolphins, and we'll come back to you, Lou. Naz, a win is a win is a win. So as Bills fans, and for all of us in Southern Ontario and Western New York, where our signal reaches quite strongly, we're thrilled. The Bills pulled that one off last night. They have now secured a playoff position, but that's way too low of a bar for this edition of the Buffalo Bills. We're thinking much, much higher than just securing a playoff spot. But a win is a win is a win. So we'll take it. But I got to say there were some disconcerting elements of last night's game, Naz. This team, obviously, to state the complete obvious, sinks or swims with Josh Allen. Josh Allen puts his Superman costume on and does his hero routine, as he did last night, we can win games. But, other than Josh Allen, it wasn't much of a running game at all, except for the last series. And that's disconcerting when you get down to this time of year. The offensive line is suffering from some injuries, and defense went to sleep a couple of times last night in key situations. Naz, your overall impression, I'm happy for the win, but, there's some places there they've got to sharpen up before we head into the playoffs.
I'm really concerned with their defense, Wally. That's the problem now, is the defense is not playing very well. And Tua, for a guy who's not supposed to play good in cold weather, he did a pretty good job against the Bills last night. And they can run into that type of quarterbacking in the playoffs, so... A little worried about the D, Wally. A little worried.
Yeah, there's, I guess every team's got their own little issues. We keep saying it. It's Josh Allen can only be Superman for so long. It's not like he necessarily takes off because he's under pressure. He does that. He does it remarkably well. And on that drive, I think he ran it 40 yards or whatever. But he's almost becoming a first option on some of these plays where the play is designed for him to run. And your running backs aren't, just up, the first 3.5 quarters, they Singletary and the other guy, I can't remember his name. They basically weren't in the game. Offensive line, their center got hurt last night and that forced McDermott to shuffle, and that's not easy. Lou, your impressions of this Buffalo Bills team?
Well, I think we talked about it at the start of the season that if the Bills were going to survive and go to the Super Bowl, and they still might go to the Super Bowl, they have to have a running game. And last night proved it again and again that Josh Allen is their Superman. The design plays that you were talking about, they probably realized up top that what Miami was giving them, that was the only option that they had, that they were opening up the middle because they were sending the linebackers in. So Josh Allen, like smart as he was, opened up the middle and took off with his feet. The run defense, again, you look at against the team that they've lost to and they've struggled against, has been the run defense. They've given up close to 150 to 200 yards every time they've lost. That's something else that they have to fix. And you got to give Tua credit, even though there wasn't as much snow as there was in the last 2 or 3 minutes, which he really struggled in, he handled the cold pretty good. And he's got two dynamite receivers out there that can break open a game every time, anytime they get the ball. And you look at the first two possessions, they drove the ball down, and all they came out of it was with two field goals. So there's a difference in the ball game right there. I think Buffalo's going to take a good look at this film and more or less fix their deficiencies and move forward. And just hope that maybe they don't have to play Miami somewhere down the road.
Now, certainly when they talk, if they can't handle the cold, it wasn't that cold in Buffalo last night. It was like 25, 27 degrees Fahrenheit.
It was the snowballs, Wally. Snowballs.
They said, oh, man, they're fighting the cold in Buffalo. Like, come back in a couple of weeks when it's minus 15 or 20. That's cold. That wasn't cold weather yesterday in Buffalo, believe me. And you always have a laugh watching some of those guys, you know, wearing their, taking all their shirts off and being bare-chested, you know, trying to prove a point. Certainly, Buffalo is the first seed in the AFC right now, and they need to preserve that. So when we're looking at the KC schedule, Buffalo can't afford to lose a game, and I think they've got a tough one coming up in a couple of weeks against the Bengals. I might be wrong, Nez. You're better
Cincinnati,
than I am.
In 2 weeks. Yep.
That will be, as far as I can tell, that will be the game that will, and Cincinnati's on a roll, Joe Burrow's on a roll, that will be the game that determines whether the Bills are able to secure home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That will be, in my estimation, pretty critical. Bills don't look like the team they were about 5-6 weeks ago. Certainly they came out of KC on a high, handled the Chiefs. They are, you know, they're on a roll. They've won their last four. So, you know, we're sitting here trying to be critical. That's tough to do. I mean, they find a way to win these games. But I think there's a couple of areas they've got to tighten up, and they got to get that running game going somehow. And I think that's also a function of injuries on the offensive line. Certainly Bills fans are happy. We've made the playoffs, and hopefully we can make that run towards the Super Bowl. On that note, we're going to take it to break. We're going to come back with the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. He's got a book that's coming out. Be a great stocking stuffer. And we'll also chat some Toronto Maple Leafs who didn't have a great week this week, but we're still thrilled about them as well. And we'll also be giving out the numbers for the Pizzaville contest. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we received several angry letters from the general public. Pizzaville's central phone number is 736-3636, but it seems that some listeners thought I was saying 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville does not condone free sex, except among consenting adults. But to make amends to those listeners who thought they heard 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex, Pizzaville recommends that you try our hot Italian sausage on your next Pizzaville pizza, because maybe you need a little more spice in your life. So, whether it's a sunny day or a rainy day, call Pizzaville at 736-3636, not 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville, authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Your grandkids are discovering trading cards for the first time. When you were their age, you collected all your favorite sports heroes. Maybe your younger self wants to show them the ropes. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise has a wide selection to get them started. From athletes to superheroes, relive some memories and make some new ones. Shop Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise and put a hero under their tree. Two locations in Toronto and Vaughan, or find them first at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible.
The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. As promised, we've got a $50 gift coupon to give away from our good friends at Pizzaville. They want to spread some Christmas cheer. First caller, for those of you that won last week, let's give some other people a chance to win these prizes. Here are the numbers, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. In 416 number, 416-360-0740. $50 Pizzaville coupon. Going to be giving out two of them today. We'll give out one at this time and one later on in the show. We're well pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend, the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. How are you, Mike?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Mike, I know that you've been busy this year putting together a book that's just been released. Fantastic book about beer league hockey. I've spent numerous amount of years playing beer league hockey with the Woodbridge Old Timers. Had a lot of fun and scored a few goals, but more importantly, quaffed a few suds after the game, which is in a lot of ways what it's all about. Mike, you got to tell us about it. Tell us all about your new book. Listeners, please listen. If you need to get that last minute present for the special beer league guy or hockey fan, Mike's book might fit the bill, or I should say might fit the bill, will fit the bill. Mike, tell us all about the book.
Well, just as a preface to how this all came about, when I retired in 2016 and started playing beer league hockey again after 12 years away, I noticed after a while that all the stories are very similar to 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and 20 years ago, and the same teasing and, you know, kibitzing with guys hadn't changed a bit. It's just, you know, instead of talking about going on dates, guys were exchanging barbecue recipes in the dressing rooms as we got older. So with that in mind, I thought somebody should get this on paper and write a book. So I did a bunch of research and looked at a number of other books that were out there. But the idea that I had hadn't really been duplicated. So what I did was I started looking at a reason to do the book. And Deb and I, who done lots of charity over the years, thought, what better way than to write a book and have it go to a charity? So we're working with a group called Rescue 7 out of Markham that installs defibrillators across different businesses throughout Canada and the U.S. So what we've decided to do, Deb and I, and along with John Coley, who runs Rescue 7, is install defibrillators in hockey rinks and community centers across Canada, and we can go into the United States that don't have them or can't afford them. And the book, it's $20, and the stories are, you know, hopefully they will sort of refresh memories for guys who've played the game over the years, the guy who won't come off the ice, the guy who hogs the puck, the guy who goes offside all the time, the dreaded 11th forward when players sit, you know, staring at the door with 10 guys in the room and that hear that squeaky wheel coming down the hall, and they dreaded that that's the 11th guy coming up to screw up the lines. And, you know, then all the zany stories that go along with the hockey. And, you know, I've got some real doozies in there from, you know, I talk about goalies, referees, some of the pubs that people go to or guys frequent. The Duchess is the local spot for the Markham guy. And, you know, as I tell people, look, it's $20. It's the cost of two beers. One beer if you drink at Scotiabank Arena. And even if the book is no good, you're helping possibly save a life that include your own one day. And believe me when I tell you guys this, guys, John will tell me, Joel told us many times at Rescue 7, these defibrillators get used, and they get used quite frequently.
Well, they certainly do. And before I turn over Naz, and maybe we'll get into Leafs talk, I'll tell you my interesting beer league story, Mike. It was 2001. It was my night to bring the beer to our game at Al Palladini up in Woodbridge, and I managed to get into an accident on the way there. I got rear-ended. Car wasn't drivable. Pulled over to the side of the road. I had the beer in the trunk. First call was to our team leader. I said, "Look, guys, I'm not going to be able to bring the beer tonight."
and they had to get somebody else to bring the beer that night. I'll leave it off at that.
Well, let me tell you, like my first year back playing, one of the things my buddy Andy Talkin told me going back to play was, listen, it's all about the room, and it's about the hockey secondary. And if you know, if your guy that shows up with beer and shows up at the bar, if you're a lousy player, you get graded as a 10 out of 10. So my first year, it was my turn to bring beer for one of the last skates. I got a flat tire on the 401. And I had Debbie on the phone with CAE. I was ready to take a cab. And the guy finally showed up, and he's fixing the flat tire now for another $20 to be faster. And he said, buddy, don't worry, you'll get there in time. And I said, no, you don't understand. If I don't make it and miss, I'll be the scorn of the league, and I don't need this black mark against me. So,
the amount of guys who forgot the beer that have to make an urgent call to their wives at home to clear out, bring beer to the game.
Wives have delivered beer to the rink for guys when guys have been sick. I'm not kidding you. There's stories about that in the book.
Anyways, it's a fascinating book, Beer League Hockey, for all of us who've played or will play at some point in time. Pick it up; it'll certainly. I'm laughing just thinking about the story, some of the stories.
I just add one thing? We self-published the book to keep the costs down because all the money, every dime, is going to the charity, and Debbie's working around the clock dealing with people emailing. So we're selling out of the trunk of the car. Please go to ultimatelyspan.com/books. And order your book. I'll be at the Duchess in Markham tonight from 7:30 on. I'll be there Wednesday afternoon from about 5 o'clock on. And you can reach us through the website. But please, you know, reach out and support us. And as I say, just for the cost of a couple of beers, you're possibly saving a life that includes your own.
Yeah, that's certainly a cause worth supporting. Nez, before I turn it over to you, just want to announce the winner. It's a Mr. JJ. I won't repeat the name for privacy concerns. Got to be careful about that stuff. A Mr. JJ from Thornhill, Ontario. Thanks so much. Thanks for calling in, and we'll get that Pizzaville coupon out to you shortly this week. Nez?
Mike, I love the stories about the Beer League, especially the one about the guy who thinks he's in the NHL. What's your favorite story about that?
Well, there's a story about, anybody who's played minor hockey, and Lou, you probably know Donnie, the bartender at Chesswood, Westwood, and Scotia Pond, who every parent who's had somebody go through the GTHL knows Donnie. And Donnie had a guy come in one night, and of course he works on tips, so he has to be nice, obviously. So there's a guy sitting in there, said, you know, Donnie, our league is pretty good, isn't it? And he goes, yeah, it is pretty good. And he said, well, you would say it's probably one of the best leagues in the city. I said, wow, I don't know about that, but I guess you guys are pretty good. I said, do you think any NHL scouts will ever come up here watching this? And Donnie said, I had to draw the line at that point. He says, buddy, unless his son is playing or his nephew's playing, there'll never be an NHL scout watching you guys play. And this guy was dead serious. He thought he had a chance to go to the show playing at a beer league.
Wow. Lou, I don't think you've ever played any beer league hockey. You certainly played professional hockey, but I'm sure you know a lot of guys you grew up with that played beer league hockey. Your favorite story?
You know what? I still have all my teeth, okay? I'll tell you, okay? I got a lot of friends, obviously, Wally, with at our age. We've got a lot of guys that if something didn't happen when they were younger, they could have battled me tooth and nail to the end to play in the National Hockey League. I'll put two names out there.
No, don't put any specific names out there, please.
No, Claudio Lesio and
Don't Lucha put Fidel. Any specific names out there, please.
Okay. These two guys, the latter name, could have played if he just couldn't get away from mommy's cooking when he was a teenager. The other gentleman...
Lou, keep it positive, please.
I'm being positive. These are good things. I tell you, they bring the smile and laugh because they know it's all true. Mr. Claudio Les... Oh, I can't mention any name, sorry. This guy was unbelievable. He'd keep the pucks after every goal that he scored. And I heard that talking to through people that he actually kept the puck when he found out that he was a leading scorer over another gentleman that I can't name.
Okay,
and they were all
I think the point you're trying to make. Lou, I think the point you're trying to make is we've all had experiences with certain people that, you know, it's beer league hockey's fun. But let's focus on the positive side. It's a lot of fun. Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
Wally, let me just say this about it. Okay,
yeah.
Here's the theme of the whole book in beer league hockey, and I think this can sum up basically everything you want to know about playing beer league. Once you cross the threshold of that dressing room door, anything you do on the other side does not count. And the example I use in the book is you could be one of the highest-ranking judges in Canadian judicial history and putting away some of the biggest criminals. Your right winger may be the biggest criminal in Toronto, but all you are to him is the guy who messed up the pass the week before that cost your team a game. And that sums it up right to a T.
Yeah, I wasn't very good, but when I missed the pass, there are a couple of guys in my league whose names, and they know when I tell this story, they know who they are, that would give me that glare. I said, hey, guys, I played house league hockey when I was a kid. What do you want from me? You know,
hey, listen, Naz, hangovers come and go, but beer league stories last forever.
Naz, do we want to get, got a few minutes left, you want to get into some Leafs talk?
Yeah, after that bit of controversy, sure, no problem. Mike, the Leaf goaltending has come back to earth a bit. They couldn't be playing at those highest standards for the rest of the year, I'm sure, but they've come back to earth a bit. What do you think?
Well, one game. I mean, he had a bad game last night. He admitted he was nervous, but look, you have to be pleased with the overall play of the team so far. We haven't reached the halfway point, but you know, the way this team, and I think last time I was on the show we talked about this, that the way it looks to me, this team has been built to be a little more defensive mind and a more defensive responsibility in their own end. And you can see the way the players are playing. The bottom six has stepped it up. They're playing with the puck in front of them. They're first on pucks. They're being hard on pucks. They're penetrating the offensive zone. They're keep away. Last night in that second period, they dominated. Just the goaltender played well. Made some great saves, and they kind of cut them out of that game with the leading at the end of the second period. And they continue to do that. The top six are scoring timely goals. They are producing at the right levels. And, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, just have to relax. They lost a couple of games. They got Tampa Tuesday. But you have to be, overall, you have to be pleased with the way this team is structured. You got Jordy Benn coming back. Morgan Riley's ready to start skating again. The defense has been bending, but it hasn't broken so far. You're getting great play out of Mark Giordano, and the rest of the players seem to be stepping up too. But as I said, the key to this team winning, and I'm repeating myself here, is the bottom six. And the bottom six continues to play like they are and producing as they are as well, then you know what? Good things could be in store for the Leafs moving forward.
Luke? You know what, Mike? You've absolutely hit the nail on the head. The bottom six are the key to this team. What scares me is that the bottom six, I don't think there's one guy that's got more than five goals. And if they don't produce and if they don't help down the road somewhere, the Leafs are going to be in the same state that they've been in the last three or four years. And goaltending is the key. I don't care who you have on defense. If the goaltending, I'm not going to say is as bad as it was last night, but as inconsistent as it has been in the past, we're really going to have a tough time, and I think Dubas is going to have to go out there and make a key move that's going to help this team get over the hump.
The key, no question, and the goaltending has been fine so far this year, and as I've said already, look, this team wins one-goal games, and as long as they're not chasing the game, which is the obvious, and they haven't been, except they did last night. Once they get that lead, they've been playing well with the lead, and the defensive responsibility of the team has been coming through loud and large all year, and I think that's the key to it, and they have to maintain that. But it does start in the barrel, and you know, we've been seeing that. So, to your point, yeah, I'm fine with the bottom six chipping in goals here and there, but you know what? If they keep the puck out of their net more than they score the other end, I'm fine with that too.
Mike, we're going to let you go. It's 25
no
minutes
problem.
To kick off. Once again, give us 10, 15 seconds on your book and where listeners can find it.
Well, guys, you know, I appreciate that. Thanks for bringing me on. But, you know, ultimateleafsfan.com/books. And as I said, I'll be at the Duchess and Markham this afternoon at 7:30 Wednesday. And just reach out to us on our website. Deb will answer you, and you know we'll get books to you as quick as possible. We can still get them to you before Christmas.
Thanks, Mike. You know how much we appreciate you joining us. Thanks for it's actually our last show of the year. We won't be on for the next couple. We'll be back on January 8th. Mike, you're always there. You always help us with the show. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, guys, for having me on. And all the best to you guys.
Thanks, Mike Wilson. It's 25 minutes to kick off World Cup final, Argentina and France. Wow, what a game it's going to be. Messi and Mbappe. We'll be right back with Carmen and Marcantonio, Bob Iarushi. We'll set up the game, and we'll also be giving away our second $50 Pizza Bill gift coupon.
It was a rainy day when I was remembering back to when I didn't know about Pizzaville. It was a rainy day when we knew that our marriage was on the rocks. The spark was gone. The fire was out. Everything was undercooked. We saw a marriage counsellor who made us realise that it wasn't our fault. It was those big pizza conglomerates. Their pizzas were so bland and doughy, all we wanted to do was roll over and go to sleep. So we tried Pizzaville, and it put a little spice and variety back into our marriage. Every week, we try different toppings. My wife especially loves the hot Italian sausage. At Pizzaville, we make authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza. Call Pizzaville at 736-3636 or order online at pizzaville.ca.
Your grandkids are discovering trading cards for the first time. When you were their age, you collected all your favorite sports heroes. Maybe your younger self wants to show them the ropes. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise has a wide selection to get them started. From athletes to superheroes, relive some memories and make some new ones. Shop Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise and put a hero under their tree. Two locations in Toronto and Vaughan, or find them first at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. It's 20 minutes to kick off. Argentina and France. So it's going to be a game for the ages. I just have a feeling about this game. It's been a great World Cup so far. Who else but better to be on the show today? Carmen and Marcantonio and Roberto Iarushi. Before we get Carmen and Bob on, I just want to say Pizzaville, $50 gift coupon. To those who have already won the contest in the last couple of weeks, please give other people an opportunity to win this prize. First caller, 1-866-740-4740, 416-860-0740. First caller, $50 gift coupon. Please to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Carmen and Marcantonio and Roberto Iarushi. Carmen, how are you this morning?
Hey, Walter, I'm well, thank you. I'm driving up to the clubhouse to see the game, Azzurri clubhouse, where Bobby probably is.
Okay.
But I'll be pulling over now.
Okay, perfect. Roberto, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good. After that Bills victory, I feel a lot better than it this morning.
Didn't realize you were a Bills fan, so it's always great to have another Bills fan on the air with us. Carmine, Argentina and France.
Break
well,
down the game.
I called it, Walter, I called it from the beginning that Argentina was going to be in the final. I didn't think France would make it, you know, back-to-back, but they did. And they could be the one of the first ones back-to-back winner. I mean, it's a 50-50 proposition. As far as I'm concerned, anybody could win it. I'm pulling for Argentina because I have a soft, special feeling for Messi, as maybe a lot of people do. And I do hope that he's going to win to become one of the top, the myth of football with Pelé and Maradona. He's up there with them anyhow, I think, already, whether he wins or not, the World Cup. That's the only thing missing on his resume is a World Cup, because he's won pretty well everything with Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain now, and he's won at the youth level with Argentina, under-20 World Cup. And he won a Copa America, as we know, about, 2 years ago? And I think he's going to hopefully win the World Cup this time around.
Bobby, how do you see, what are your thoughts on today's game, and how do you see the game developing?
Well, I agree just about with everything Carmen said. I think it's going to be too hard to call. Anything can happen in one game. I think France is just, I don't know how much they've been hurt from all the virus that their camp was under. Wally, I don't know how many of their players are not going to be available today. That'll be something for us to analyze when we see the lineup. If they have all their players available, I would say that if I had to bet, I would bet France today. But with my heart, I'm with Carmen. I'd like to see Messi win. And give him kind of the full measure of brilliance for his career.
Naz?
Guys, Messi was rumored to be signing in the MLS. Do you think that's a possibility after the tournament? And how would he do for the MLS in the way of fan support?
Kahneman, I'll turn it over to you first and then Bob.
Yeah, Naz, I hope he does. His contract with Paris Saint-Germain is up on at the end of the summer of 2023. And Bobby and I had the pleasure to play one of our first professional game in the North American Soccer League at Yankee Stadium, 1976. And on the other side of midfield, before kickoff, we saw the legend Pelé. And, you know, in the North American Soccer League with Pelé became one of the top leagues in the world, never mind North America. And I hope with Messi coming to the MLS, not like Ronaldo looking for, you know, gold. Messi is a different type of character. I think he's got enough money. So I think he wants probably, like Pelé, promote football, hopefully North America and the MLS. So I do hope it does come.
Bobby?
That's it. That's my point on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think Messi would be a fantastic addition. Are you kidding? I believe he's going with Beckham's Miami team. I've heard that it's almost solidified, that deal. I think it'll be great. I think he'll be great at 35 years old to 36. That's when Pelé came over, as Carmen had mentioned. I think he'll be an incredible addition. Everybody in Toronto will want to see him when he comes here. And, I just think it's a fantastic addition to North American soccer.
Louis?
I think it's going to be a great farewell and a swan song for Messi to win this thing. It'll finally get rid of the mystique of who's the best football player in the last 20 years between him and Ronaldo, especially with what's gone on lately. I want to ask you two guys, we know defense usually wins championship. Who's got the better midfield or defense on France and Argentina?
I'm in it first and then Bob.
Yeah, Lou, that's a good point. I mean, they're both solid defenses. I mean, that's you win World Cups with Mbappé and on one side and Messi on the other side that score goals. But there's also, let's not forget, the Golden Boot could be one of those two guys, but there's also Alvarez that's got 4 goals and Giroud that's got 4 goals. And defensively, they're solid. Both, I think, they've been playing, solid defense, not conceding much. I think Argentina and France, I think, might have conceded maybe a couple of goals. And Argentina, I'm not sure exactly how many goals. But that's how you win it, Lou. You know, you're a sports guy. In hockey, it's not any different. Defense normally win championship, and then you got Lemieux and Gretzky, and here we got Mbappé versus Messi. That's, that they score goals, but normally championship are won with defense. So I would say even there it's a 50-50 proposition. Who's the best defense?
Bob, yeah, I'd like to point out one advantage for me, and for me, Antoine Griezmann for France has been, in my opinion, the best player in the tournament. He is everywhere on the field. He's a dynamo going forward. He takes free kicks. He scores goals. He sets up goals. He's back in defense, helping, and he's a midfield general. And I think that's an advantage for France. Argentina has two very, very tough midfielders to support Messi in McAllister and DuPaul. So, you can rank them as you want. I like Antoine Griezmann as my choice as one of the best players of the tournament.
Of course, today's the World Cup final, Argentina and France. It is the greatest sporting spectacle in the world. On this side of the pond, we like to think the Super Bowl is, but worldwide, World Cup final Sunday is the one event that keeps more people in the world glued to their televisions than any other event. And Canada has been a part of this World Cup celebration. It's been a fascinating World Cup in a lot of different ways. The excitement during the quarterfinals and semifinal stages, some of these games changing in the last minutes or scores in the last minutes of extra time and penalty kicks, may be one of the more exciting World Cup events ever. And Canada was a part of it. And now we've had the benefit of a couple of weeks since Canada was eliminated. We've seen what's happened in the tournament after that. The two teams that Canada butted heads with went to the semifinals. Croatia finished third, Morocco finished fourth. So certainly Canada, except for perhaps 25 minutes against Croatia, certainly held its own, and no question. Performed in how they performed will be analyzed and criticized perhaps over the course of the next while. But Carmina, now that we're a couple of weeks later, we look so forward to the World Cup. We had an exciting and tremendous run to win CONCACAF. This team excited us. What will you take from this tournament in terms of the Canadians' performance?
Well, the performance, I thought, on the field was overall very good, okay, even though we still only scored 1 goal and 0 points. But I think we were the new kid on the block and a bit naive on the approach of the games. It's not CONCACAF, it's a World Cup, and you don't have many chances. You have, one chance per game. You need to get points every game. You gotta go with the concept of getting 1-2 points, or even a tie is good. Italy won the World Cup in 1982 with 3 ties and the first stage, and Canada could have had at least a couple of ties. And the funny part, Walter, is that Croatia and Morocco that were in the Canadian group, they ended up, third and fourth. So it was a strong group with Belgium on top of it. And as you know, sports, there's fine points in sports. I mean, Croatia came in now third with the bronze medal. And this is they also have another bronze medal in 1998, I believe, in the World Cup in France. And also, they were runner-up, 2018. So this is a small nation. We have to learn from this small nation of just 4 million people, if that. But they develop at the youth level. And in Canada, I think we need to learn from this World Cup, and we should be dominating in CONCACAF, and hopefully by 2026 we're going to have a solid team that's going to make at least the next round. Never mind, you know, winning a game or tying a game. We should make it through the next round. And hopefully, you know, we're going to be a powerhouse in CONCACAF. I think that's what we take from, you know, on the Canadian point of view, is that it was a learning lesson, I think.
Bob, your reflections on the last couple of years in Canadian men's soccer, and what do we take away from our performance at the World Cup?
Well, I think that Canada should be proud of what they've done over the last two years. And I mean, who would have given them a chance to make it to Qatar when they started? They lost to Haiti in that dramatic moment 2 years ago, and it looked like they weren't going to be able to make it. And then they got, you know, they went through the tough moments of CONCACAF, and they deserve to be here. They won the CONCACAF. They beat Mexico. They beat the United States, and they had a great stage. And I agree with Carmen. In the end, when you get to the World Cup, you have to play for results. You can't play for, you know, stylistic points before the game, stupid comments that shouldn't be made, players who haven't been fit, players who haven't played for their team, you know, in Europe for the last year and a half that start. These are things that, are important measures for the team to get those results. Belgium should have been a result, at least a tie. And as Carmen said, if we had got that first result, we may have eked out another result and made it very, very interesting. But congratulations to Canada.
Absolutely. Naz?
Today's game, low scoring or high scoring, boys?
Low scoring or high scoring today, Carmina?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to be a tactical game, Naz. I feel that the advantage is, if there is an edge on the French side, is because Deschamps is basically, if he's going to be, he's going to be only the second coach to win back-to-back World Cups. The first one was Pozzo for Italy in 1934-38. Nobody repeated as World Cup winner, and Deschamps has got shown that he's got he's a wise coach, he's a very practical, tactical coach, and I think maybe that's where the advantage is. I feel that hopefully we're going to have an early goal, that the game opens up if we have an early goal, but I got the feeling that that it's going to be a tight game, a low-scoring game, maybe 1-0, 2-1 at the most is going to do it.
Well, Bob, I'll turn it over to you really quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly. It's going to be I hope it doesn't become a real tactical a conundrum where both teams respect each other so much that nobody wants to take the game to the other team. I think I would suspect that France, they put pressure on Morocco right away. I wonder if they'll apply some full field pressure against Argentina to start, and I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, Naz. I think it's going to be a 1-0, 1-1, and I just hope the game doesn't go to penalty shots. That's the only thing I hope it doesn't do.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. I see this as they're not going to get shot out. When the game starts, they're going to feel each other out for quite a bit of time, looking for breaks and playing it tight. I'm just hopeful this game doesn't come down to a referee's call of some kind or another, a poor judgment, some guy who's, 3 inches inside the box gets taken down and it's no scoring opportunity has been taken away and the ref decides to award a penalty. I just hope it doesn't come down to that. I thought the penalty that was given against Croatia 4 years ago was questionable. And certainly in retrospect, France was a deserving winner. I'm sure if you're a Croatian fan, that sort of sits raw still to this day. I'm just hoping it's a clean goal, a deserved goal, and it doesn't come down to a referee or a VRA guy giving a penalty for something that wasn't significant. Kahneman and Bob, I'll turn it over to you for some last parting thoughts. Kahneman?
Well, again, I'm hoping the two best players in the world, as far as I'm concerned right now, the number 10s, Messi for Argentina, Mbappé for France, they're going to turn it on. I think it's going to be their show. It's going to be a defensive game, but it's one of their brilliance. And like Bobby said, Griezmann has been, for me, fantastic. Like Bobby said, I agree 100%. He's been amazing as a really number 10 creative player that could also score. He hasn't scored, I don't think he has, but he's got 3, 4, 5 assists so far on winning goals for France. So he could be also a key to the game. But at the end of the day, I feel that maybe Giroud, if it's going to, you know, if they're going to score early, it could be maybe Giroud or Alvarez that could win the Golden Boot, okay, because one of them could get 2 goals. A brace.
Oh, you never know.
The Golden Boot.
Kahneman, so, I'm going to turn it over.
You never know.
Bob's last. I'm going to turn over to, I got to get you guys off so that you guys can go enjoy the game. I don't want you to miss a second of it. Bob, 30 seconds or less, last comment.
Yeah, there's been a lot said. There's not very much more to say. Let's hope for a great game. Let's hope for wonderful soccer and, you know, glory for Messi and glory for Deschamps. They both deserve it, and may the best team win. Nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Bob and Kahneman, we're going to let you go. There's 4 minutes left to kick off. We don't want you to miss a second of the game. Go enjoy the game. Thanks so much for being with us for the last month and sharing your passion and your insights. Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the game. And happy
Walter.
And Merry Christmas, and best of the season
to
you and your family.
To Lou. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas.
Keep well. We have about 3.5 minutes left. It's our last show of the year. There's some thank yous I want to go around. First of all, thank you to our sponsors. Brought some new sponsors online this year, KPMG Enterprise, Miller Thompson. Of course, Mint Inc. and John Amendola have been loyal sponsors of ours for years, and we thank him. Alt Infinity has been with us since day one. Much, much, much thanks to the good people at Alt Infinity and our chief sponsor, Pizzaville. And on that note, I want to announce that the last Pizzaville contest was given out to, I can't say the name, but the initials are EB, Ms. or Mrs. I don't know what the proper pronoun is. Please forgive me. But EB from Markham, Ontario. Thanks so much. I recognize the name. Thanks so much for being a loyal listener over the years. Pizzaville has been a tremendous sponsor of ours. The great Pizzaville family, Angelo, Nella, Stephanie, thank you so much for everything you've done for our show. Our producer, Dan Stakos, it's not easy being a producer on this show. It's a live show. It's done remotely. You got to get guests on the air. You got to sort of figure out how to get them on, call them. You've got a short window of opportunity. He's busy. He's got to give out, take those calls. Dan, thanks so much for making this happen. Louie and Naz, it's always a pleasure doing this show with you guys. Look forward to hooking up again and carrying this forward. Guys, let's go around the table. What will you remember from the sporting world of 2022? COVID's still a big part of our world, but the world got sort of back a little bit to normal. Naz, when you reflect back on 2022, sports-wise, what will you remember?
I remember two things. One is the CONCACAF championship that the Canadian team won. And the other is a passing away of a great, great player in Boris Salmi. So those are the two things that I'll remember from 2022 in the sports world.
Yeah, but you know what? Really, really good ones you picked out there, Naz. Yeah, certainly those certainly do thing to reflect upon and stick out. Lou, what will you remember?
You know what? Everything on the good side, all our health and happiness. But the three things that that will stand out on me is the passing of three very close friends, or even four very close friends that I was associated in my years of playing against them. I just hope that they rest in peace.
Well, thank you, Lou. I know you're getting emotional about that, and we thank you for sharing that with you. I know we forget that when you're part of professional sports that there's a certain level of love for your teammates. There's a certain level of respect for your opponents, and in your silence there, Lou, that certainly came through, and we thank you for that. I will remember a couple of things from this year. Naz, you touched on a couple of them. I'll remember the great run. I remember when Canada clinched their place in the World Cup. I remember the remarkable performances of that Canadian men's national soccer team. A couple of things I'll remember from a negative perspective. The Bills and the Chiefs, 13 seconds, Leafs in Game 7. And I'll leave it on this note. I certainly hope the Bills and the Leafs turn that scenario around in 2023. To all our loyal listeners, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. However I can express my wish for you to have a best holiday season and what's appropriate for you, I pass along those wishes to my good friends, Sunday morning soulmates, Naz and Lou. Thank you so much. Naz, as always, I will give you the last word.
3-2 Argentina. That's my pick.
On that note, to everyone, enjoy the game. Let's go watch it.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.